Please find your seats. Hey, Dave. Inside of your bulletin is a sheet that says Ministry of God's Word. If you'll please take that out and stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. Little abbreviated reading time today, because I know that some of you want to watch the Steeler game. No, you don't. I know you don't. This is a reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you, who believe. Father, may we be people who not only hear the word, but may we receive it and accept it as the Thessalonians did, so that it will work within us, so that in this time that we live in, the time where things don't seem to be clear in our culture, that we will be people who help to bring light. Open our ears, open our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. There was a Sunday school teacher, and if you don't know, today was the first day of Sunday school here for the fall. It was a Sunday school teacher who was teaching her second grade class, and she asked the question, who were the apostles? And everyone agreed, all the children agreed, that the apostles were followers of Jesus and that they were called disciples. And then she asked, what were the epistles? And there seemed to be some confusion. One little boy raised his hand and said, the epistles were the wives of the apostles. And when the pastor heard that story, he told it to his Thursday night Bible study class. After the class was over, one adult came up to him and said, if they weren't the wives of the apostles, whose wives were they? And of course, I hope you know this, they weren't anybody's wives. Those are the letters we see in Scripture. If you would, take this sheet, turn it over, and hopefully you take some notes today. We are taking a look at this because this is the first day of Sunday school, and the Word of God should be so important to us. It should be so important. And so I want to take this time to, I know you know this, and I know you know these things, but to impress upon you the importance of God's Word. God's Word, the Word of God, is used twice in verse 13. If you look at verse 13, you'll see that it's mentioned twice. The Word of God, the Word of God. It must be important, or else it wouldn't be mentioned twice. And we see, and we read this morning that the Word of God is not just the words of men. It's the Word of God. And that makes all of the difference in the world. If it were just the Word of men, we can read it and put it down. But since it is the Word of God, it should mean something special to us in the sense that we realize they are love letters from God. And it should be something that's changing us and transforming us so that we become more and more like Jesus. As I said so many times, we are God's secret plan. If we aren't that light, then this culture will continue to slide. And it's sliding fast, isn't it? It is sliding fast. So just a couple of things about the Word of God. It's powerful. The Word of God is powerful. Did you know that? I hope you know that. The Word of God is powerful. Let me share some scripture verses with you, and there are many. One, Romans 1:16. I love this verse. I am not ashamed, Paul is saying. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The Word of God is the power of God. It's the power of God. Ephesians 6:17. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What are swords used for? What do you use a sword? When you think, of course, we don't use that too often today, but you think back. That was what? You use it in battle. A sword. It was powerful. You take a sword and... Hello, my friends. The sword is a weapon. Do you believe I got this many years ago in Guatemala for $6? Beautiful case in the marketplace. In the marketplace down there. But a number of years ago. I'm going to hold on to this for a little bit. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. You think this is sharp? It's not really. It's very dull. But it's shiny. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And that is something everybody needs today. We need our thoughts and our attitudes judged. We need our thoughts and our attitudes made right, to be made more like Christ today. This won't do that. This is pretty scary looking, but it won't do that. I'm going to put this back in the case. And you're saying, oh, I'm glad he's doing that. Where's Lou? And then this last one, Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like fire? I want to say, yes, yes it is. His word to the person who's hungry for God is like fire that burns in my heart and burns, should burn in our hearts, declares the Lord. And like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces, all of the men can identify with that. You pick up your hammers, and you slam it down. And if you don't hit your finger, you hit a nail or something, you hit a rock, and how powerful. Michael has those nail guns. You don't use a hammer too much anymore, do you? Those nail gun, boy, you ever see those things that you shoot those nails out? I don't even want to touch one of those. It's not my word like fire. Fire burns, and it should burn in our heart, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. And what Jeremiah is saying, that's what the Word of God should do to us. It should burn in our hearts. It should break apart those things that are in us, those things that form very hard within us that are like rocks that need broken apart. And the Word of God should be that strong that breaks those things that we have within us. Why is the Bible important? We know this. We know this. Why should we read it? Why should we read it every day? Why should we read it every day? One, it's God's guide for finding salvation in Christ. I know no better means. I can remember many, many years ago reading Galatians many times, Hebrews, Galatians talking about the law, Hebrews talking about the Lamb of God that was sacrificed, and I put those two things together. God's guide for finding life's direction. And it is. It is. It's God's guide for finding a direction in your life. Until I became a Christian, life was just kind of mulling along. Wherever the ways of life took me, that's where I was going. I wasn't bad. It's just kind of moseying along in life. It gives direction in life. God's guide for discovering your purpose in life. We all need a purpose. Why are you here? Why are we here? And we may think, well, I'm here to raise my children, be Christian, but if every generation does that, there has to be something more beyond that in our children. And we want our children to be Christian, but why personally, beyond your family, are you here? Why personally, beyond your family, are you here for Him? What has He called you to do specifically? Whew, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. God's guide for keeping you faithful. Martin Luther used to say of himself, I am a saved sinner. And what he meant by that, I sin. I'm saved. But he was also a man who was constantly going before God all the time, flat on his face like this, on the ground. It's God's guide to keeping us faithful. Every single day we come across people, we come across issues, we come across things that want to take us this way instead of that way. People will want to take you that way. Issues will take you that way. Your work may take you this way. God's word puts you back on the right course. It's God's guide for overcoming sin and temptation, which we encounter constantly, not just every day, multiple times a day. So subtle, we don't even realize it. So subtle, at times we don't even realize. It's God's guide for dating, marriage, and parenting. It tells you who you should date. It speaks about marriage and how a husband should treat his wife and wife, so on and so forth, husband, and how to raise godly children. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's word is a lamp. And of course, they didn't have light bulbs like we do today. They didn't have lights like we do today. But if they did, probably God's word would say this, Thy word is a spotlight unto my feet, and it brightens my entire path before me. And that's what God wants us to know. This world, unless you're living in a vacuum, this world is getting darker and darker and darker, isn't it? Yes, I see a lot of you. Yes, it's gotten so bad that it's difficult to hear the news today. My wife heard something the other day that disturbed her so much about a child that was happening that she said, I don't want to watch news anymore. It's all they have is these terrible, horrible things on it. And it bothered her. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It shows me the direction I should go because in the darkness that we live in, it gives a brightness. It's a light. And it makes us to be lights. God's word is truth. It's unshakable truth. And a time again, where we live and what we need truth in our lives, and we need it constantly, constantly coming within us because so much that we're bombarded with commercials and TV and stuff and junk and all kind of crazy things that are so disturbing in our culture today. I love this. The Word of God is like fresh water, isn't it? The Word of God is fresh water for your life. And you think when you're thirsty, you get a drink of water and it refreshes you. The Word of God, if you get an appetite for the Word of God, it is like fresh water. It is a refreshment. When I read the Word of God, it does that. It puts my thinking right. It puts my thinking, and it is fresh water that I can drink. How many of you like to go to buffets? How many? Come on, let me see. Be honest. How many of you like to go to buffets? Wow. I mean, the rest of you don't. Well, that's a lot of people anyway. Just a few do not. When you go to buffets, you know what's so good about that? You know when we're done feeding our souls and our spirits here this morning, we're going to a buffet, our family. We're going to the Chinese buffet over there. And we have found our grandchildren love going there Because they can go back multiple times. Multiple times. They can go back many times. And I have to confess, I go back more than once. Two. But when you go to a buffet, you have many choices. You can go up and down and go back several times and fill your plates up a number of times. And then, I'd love to find one of these. A dessert buffet. I don't know of any places around here that have a dessert buffet, but as I was looking down to it, I said, I can take one of those, one of those, one of those, one of those. I can take, I think there were six that I counted. I can take every one and like every one of them. I would have no trouble eating any of them and all of them there. But what's so wonderful about buffets is that you can go and take your choice, and again, your children can go. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that our faith is like a buffet and that we can pick and we choose some parts of God's Word that we like and leave the other ones that maybe, boy, I don't know, I'm just not there, and we leave it there. And we can't do that with the Word of God. We have to be willing to take it all in. And the tough parts are there to hone us, to shape us, to prune us in our lives. Because we are stubborn. You know that, right? It's not just Lou who's stubborn. We're all stubborn. We all have that within us. And it prunes us. It shapes us. Takes off those rough edges on us. If you're paying attention to the reading this morning, 1 Thessalonians, it spoke about receiving and accepting God's Word. I want to take a little bit of time to talk about that. And we also thank God continually, Paul says, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God. The word received is paralambano in the Greek, paralambano. And you've heard me talk about the word lambano many times from 1 John chapter 12, yet to those who received him, who took hold of him very strongly. And the idea of a Christian is to take hold of Christ. Well, this is paralambano, even more so. It means to take hold of it in your mind, to receive it intellectually, very strongly. It means to take God's Word and not just to read and say, okay, I did my reading for today. It is taking God's Word and to put it in your mind strongly and to receive it strongly in your mind, to receive it intellectually so that you understand it. Do I understand this? Does it make sense to me? Does it make sense to me intellectually? That's what it means to receive it. Hope all of you know who R.C. is. You know, he went to be with the Lord last year. He's in glory now. One of the great theologians of our time. He said this about God's Word. God has made us with a harmony of heart and head. The more we know Him, the more we are able to love Him. And the more we love Him, the more we seek to know Him. To be central in our hearts, and I love this last sentence, to be central in our hearts, He must be foremost in our minds. To be central in our hearts, He got to be up here first. How's He going to get in here if first we don't read it and have it up here? We got to have it up here. God, have it in our minds. We have to understand and receive it intellectually. A survey by Christianity Today and the Gallup poll said no factor is more influential in shaping a person's moral and social behavior than regular Bible reading. If you want to be changed, if you want to become more like Jesus Christ, and every one of us should desire that, to become more like. Discipline yourself to read the Bible. And I haven't said this in a long time. I hope you and your family have a regular time of reading the Bible together. Husbands and wives, you need a separate time by yourself. With your children. And I've said this, haven't said it in a while. Our favorite time used to be when our children were young, right after supper, before everybody went their separate ways. Right after supper, let's sit down, let's go on a couch or on a chair and read Scripture. You don't have to read it long. Read a little passage, talk about it a little bit. Your children's eyes are going to be wandering. That's okay. That's okay. You're not going to feel like, boy, I'm terrible, because I felt like that. Even as a pastor, I felt like that. But it stays in them. If you get in a habit of doing it every day. Accept the Word of God. Receiving it is getting it intellectually and receiving it in your mind and taking hold of it strongly in your mind. Taking hold of it strongly in your mind. Accepting the Word of God. Paul says, and we also thank God continually because when you received the Word of God, in other words, when you took hold of it intellectually, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God. The word accepted in the Greek is dechomai, dechomai. And it means to embrace. It means to welcome. It means to embrace. Paul is saying, embrace the word of God. Welcome the word of God. How many of you, many of you may have a welcome mat in front of your door. We do, in front of our house. We have a welcome mat in front of our door. And that says to people coming in into your house, you're welcome in my home. You're welcome. Come on in. Dechomai is saying, I welcome the Word of God into this house. I welcome the Word of God. I embrace the Word of God within me. And I want it here. You see, receiving is getting it here and taking a hold of it strongly up here. Accepting is now getting it from here and embracing it and holding it very tightly in here. Both are necessary. If you just have this, you'll be like, so many times we come across people that have it up here, they just don't have it in here. If you just have it here, you're going to be spouting partial truths because you don't have it up here. I've said this a number of times over the years, but it bears repeating today. These four things kind of explain receiving and accepting the Word of God. Receiving and accepting these four things. You must find the truth. You must find the truth. And how important it is. Then you must know the truth. And that's the receiving part. You have to know it. Not just, I read that. We had a relative who we would urge to read the Bible and says, oh, I read that book once. Knowing it is receiving it intellectually. Then you must embrace the truth. That's accepting it, embracing it, and bringing it into you. What good is it if you've read it and you know some things, you can talk about it if you don't have it here? And the fourth part is you must experience the truth, which is living it. It's no good if you just read it. It's better if you embrace it. But if you don't live it so that it can be seen, what good are we as people of God then? What good are we? If you receive and accept God's word, it will work in you. It will work in you. Paul had one more definition for us. You accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. If we accept it, if we receive it, if we receive it, and then accept it, and we get it inside. If we do that, it's going to do work because the Word of God is powerful. It's going to work in us, and we're going to be amazed that it's working in us. We're going to look back, as I've said every so often, How have you changed in the last 6 months? I do that to myself. How have I changed in the last 6 months? The word work that we see there is energeo, and it means it's the power of God's word that exerts an effective and energetic power in us. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is powerful. It has an energy that works within us. It's the supernatural activity of God that is working with. It's supernatural. That's part of the definition. It's supernatural. If we receive it, if we accept it, it will be working in us. It's impossible for it not to be working. And I guarantee you will see it within you, you will see it within your wife, and you will see it within your children if you receive it and accept it as such. It's God's energizing power. It is the power of God. The Word of God is powerful, the first premise. It is powerful. Okay, we're whole beings. There are many parts to us. Some of us may stress the physical part. In fact, when I was a younger man, I worked out an awful lot. There's that physical, we are physically, God has designed us to grow physically. He's designed us to grow mentally. He's designed us to grow intellectually. And He's designed us to grow spiritually. If we remained this size our entire lives, it's not the way God designed us to be. If mentally we had the mentality of a five-year-old, that would not be the way God necessarily wants us. Intellectually. And the same thing is true for us spiritually. God has designed us to grow in all of those facets, physically, mentally, intellectually, and spiritually. And probably what we see is that's the last one. And it should be one of the first for us. What I've done, instead of working physically, which I used to do many, many years ago, and I need to do some of that. I don't do any, and I haven't done it for over 30-some years. Spiritually comes first, because I think that I am here for a purpose. I do believe I'm here for a purpose. It is one, yes, with my family, to raise them up, which we did, my wife and I. But beyond that, there's a purpose. There's a purpose. I love this. Robert Murray McShane, one of the great men of God from another era, 1800s. For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. You know, when you're getting ready for work or something, you look in the mirror and you take every look at yourself. Every time you take a look, take 10 looks at Jesus. I read that the other day. I went, wow, what a good little thing to think of. For every look at yourself, every time you take 10 looks at Christ. You take 10 looks at Christ and one look at yourself, we'll get the right perspective of ourself and the right perspective of Jesus in our life. What can you do to read the Bible like you should? These are simple things. We know them. We just have to do them. One, find a consistent time to read it. Find a consistent time to read it. For Stacy and myself, it's every morning. Every morning, we get up. You know why that's important? Are you like this? When I come home, I put my keys in a certain place. Once in a while, I make the mistake, maybe I'm carrying something, I put them somewhere else. And then a couple hours later, I go where I normally put them. I can't, where are my keys? Where did they go? And you start that search. You know what I mean. I'm sure you do that. Find a consistent time to read. 2, pick a quiet place to read. Pick a quiet place because we are easily distracted. Don't have that TV on and you're reading and, oh, what did Roethlisberger do? Whoa! Find a quiet place so that you can concentrate, so that you can embrace it. So you can embrace it. 3, make it a habit. Cultivate. You cultivate habits. You practice habits. And when you cultivate them, they become part of you. Get accountability. Get accountability. I love what I'm hearing from the young adult men and how accountable they are and how they're sharing and they're praying among them. I love hearing those kind of things. I go, yes! Get accountable. It will help you to stay the course. When we're not, we just kind of flit and float and so on and so forth. 5, share what? Oh, it should be what, not want. Share what you learn with others. Share what you learn with others. You should want to do that too. Share what you learn with others. You know what I was reading the other day? I was reading this. Wow, it's so powerful. It grabbed a hold of me. I never saw that before. I missed it. I've read this so many times, and it's like I saw it for the first time. Wow. And I'm sure if you do that with your Bible, and I hope you do, that happens to you. I never saw this before. 6, if all else fails, listen to it in the car. All else fails. That's only a last resort. Or in addition to, I'm going to do that. Chuck Swindoll, one of those good Bible expositors today, he said, what is your final authority in life? What holds you together when all hell breaks loose around you? There can be no more reliable authority on earth than God's Word, the Bible. This timeless, trustworthy source of truth holds the key that unlocks life's mysteries. And he says, if I could have only one wish for God's people, that's us, it would be that we would realize once for all that his book has the answers. In a world of relativism, which is kind of like anything goes, the Bible talks in terms of right and wrong, good and bad, yes and no, true and false. It sets the course for us. And I just want to encourage you on this first day of Sunday school for the fall, make it a habit. Make it a habit of doing it with your husband and wife, with your children, opening up that book and getting these things so that you can train your children. You know, there's a story of two brothers that, and let me ask the musicians to come up as I'm telling the story. So we have two brothers that were walking on their father's very large area, and they came across a beautiful fruit tree, and they both began to eat some of that fruit that was so delicious. After a while, they had their fill of it, and they wanted to go home. So the one son got all the fruit off the tree that he could take with him. The other son noticed that there was a small tree that was growing. He dug that up and took that tree and put it in his truck and took it home with him, and he planted it. The Bible is like a wondrous fruit tree that provides so many fruits that you can eat all the time. When we just hear the Word of God and don't do anything with it, it's like the first son who gathered up the fruit and it was gone. When we embrace it and receive it, it's like the second son who had that fruit tree with him, and no matter when he wanted, he could go and eat as much as he wanted because it was right there in his yard. May we be like that second son. May we be people that I'm starting off this part of the year like this. I want to be going to Sunday school. I want to be bringing my children to Sunday school. I want to be going to Bible study when we start on Thursday nights. and everything else so that I could become all that God wants me to become. Amen. Will you please stand? This was an extra long service because of handing out all those certificates to our children. But it's only 5 after, with all of that going on. You have plenty of time to go home and eat and watch the Steelers and have all kinds of fun. But I sincerely hope that we are not just hearing about the Word of God again on a Sunday. But we take what we're hearing and do what we're talking about and make it and accept it and receive it so that we can be a blessing to God with our heads and our hearts working together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The elders will be up here to pray for you if you have any special needs. Pastor Stephen will be down here if you have never really taken hold of Christ in your life. Let today be the day that you take hold of Him to make Him number one in your heart and your mind and all through you. Pastor Steve, will you dismiss us?
Dear Father, we thank you that your word, Lord, truly is a lamp to our feet. It is there to guide us, Lord, to equip us, to guide us in our daily life, Lord. We pray that we will make a commitment, Lord, to be reading it with our families, reading your word with our spouses, Lord, reading your word on our own, Lord. Let us have a deeper commitment to your word and help us to love it more, Lord. We thank you for this chance to just celebrate the kids and the teachers today. We pray for everybody here in the congregation, Lord. Ask a blessing upon them. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.